What's up, buddy? Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. What's up, Cousin Shane? Everybody's favorite cousin. What's up, brother?
What's going on?
Oh, man. Lazy Sunday over here. It rained all day, so.
All freaking day. Smell, you smell that, Mike? It smells like cart path only tomorrow.
Did you get any golfing in this weekend?
No, man. Valentine's, you know, spending time with the old lady was well worth it, but I didn't get to get out there on the golf course. I played Thursday, was my last day. So Friday and Saturday, and then of course it rained all day Sunday. So I was hoping to get out there tomorrow. Still probably will, but you know, I may go a little later in the day so the fairways can dry out. So I wasn't aware of this, but there's a 90-degree rule. Have you ever heard of that?
A 90-degree rule? No, I don't believe I have.
So some courses will do this thing where they'll say cart path only. So if it's raining, that means literally got to keep your golf cart on the path the entire time. But sometimes as it's drying up, they say, hey, let's just do the 90-degree. And what that is if you're going parallel with your ball, as soon as you get to it, then you could cut perpendicular, you know, at 90 degrees. And that's a pretty cool rule. I like that one. That one I could get behind. But cart path only, until I drop some more LBs, it's not something I'm looking forward to.
Well, you know what I'm not looking forward to?
What's that?
My notes not being on the computer. So real quick.
Who needs them? Who needs them?
Tell us about our good friends over at Tennessee Legend. Come on,
Oh, buddy. I tell you what, it seems like they got a new flavor every time I get up there. And I've got a lot of favorite. I think the peanut butter is probably my favorite, the peanut butter cup. You pair that with a Diet Coke. Somebody said a grape soda, and you've hit it out of the park. I haven't tried that. It does make sense to me, but if you stop in, get some tasting done, pick out the bottle that's perfect for you, and tell them the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And you can get it mailed to you, Mike. Like, not to your house. Just go to your package store and say, hey, you know what? You know what shit you ain't got on the shelves? Tennessee Legend Distillery. Make it happen.
Did you get you another masterpiece?
Well, my wife. Long story short, didn't get up there. They were absolutely loaded, though. I think they had 14 couples at this painting sim. Wow. So it was rocking, man. They always got something going on. Everything from karaoke to they got some games going on all the time. It's just a fun environment if you come in. It's like laser tag for adults.
So you let 14 couples down is what you're telling me.
No. In fact, they needed the attention. One day for them, you know? You're welcome. This is the first time I've let you down, Tennessee Legend. Ask Mike how it feels.
Well, you know who's not going to be let down, Shane?
Michael Dunlap. Balls, I don't know. You're flashing them all up here.
Yeah, balls, go big orange. Let's do this. SEC Mike, what's your thoughts on the hearing? So, hey, I got the power rankings, an updated version. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
But since we're already getting asked about it, let's start with kind of the news here. I was going to talk Chambliss first, but let's go Joey for balls, go big orange. But they had the hearing on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing came out of it just yet. So, still determining whether Joey Aguilar is going to be available for Tennessee next season. I don't know what to make of it, Shane. I think it's up in the air. I don't think it's 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't think because Trinidad's good, I think that's got nothing to do with Joey Aguilar. Because of the Alabama basketball player, not eligible, I think that's got nothing to do with Joey Aguilar. So we got to like remove ourselves from like, well, they didn't let this guy. Well, they're letting this guy. Each situation is unique to itself. So yes. We don't know. Again, it's just speculation.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's bad, but we just really don't know. And the judge said he'll try to make a determination soon. And tomorrow's a holiday, so it's probably not going to be tomorrow either. You know what I mean? But
a cousin Shane soon? Or
But, hey, he pled his case.
Yeah.
And I think... Again, I don't know I know literally nothing about Knox County judges or courtrooms, and yeah. I know nothing about Mississippi courtroom and or judge rooms, but it was just from my outside view, looking in, just watching on YouTube, because they did publicize yeah. these things. It was two very different environments, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that was it did not seem to be 100% Rocky Top judges in there. And
yeah.
even the guy that was representing the NCAA against Joey Aguilar,
yeah,
to my understanding, is a Tennessee football fan and ticket holder. So this ain't just, we're just going to pass this through because this is Tennessee. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but do you have any thoughts there?
Obviously I have no clue, right? Yeah. I mean,
the come judge.
Judge didn't text me this weekend, but I hope he wasn't at Tennessee Legend. I really I let everybody down. But
what if he was?
But if I'm leaning one way or the other, Mike, I'm probably 60-40 in favor of Joey. Is kind of where I'm leaning here.
Okay.
Just the vibe I picked up, just, mm-hmm. you know, people close to the situation. I'm leaning a little more positive than negative.
And that's, more importantly, is that good for Tennessee? Is it bad for Tennessee in your opinion?
It's good. It's good. Okay. Yeah, I can't. Even if Joey doesn't end the season, you know, how can it be bad having, you know, more than one quarterback on the roster that is serviceable and able to get you through the SEC. I feel like Joey he has shown nothing but great things. You know, there were some things he needed to work out toward the end. There were some dumb mistakes, obviously, but, you know, a second year in the system, I feel like he would be a home run get for Tennessee. I feel like the ceiling is moved with Joey back there at quarterback.
And let us not forget, Shane, because I think a lot of this flew under the radar. A lot of SEC fans may not even know this because they didn't, I guess Joey Aguilar, I don't know who, but they didn't make it public after the season. They announced he had surgery. I believe they had a tumor removed yeah. from his tricep or arm or something.
Throwing arm.
Yeah. So again, I mean, in hindsight, you know, you could say, well, hell, he really, really petered out there at the end, but mm-hmm. he had a freaking tumor in his arm, yeah. you know, like he was pretty good considering that, you know what?
What would you do with an arm tumor? You know, I'd probably call in a few times. You know what I'm saying?
So again, I don't know if that. I'm not saying he's going to be Joe Burrow next year, but
yeah,
I think he's a lot better than he showed at the end of the season. If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with you there, man. And I like the situation. I like Tennessee's situation moving forward. I feel like they've got a lot more depth on both sides of the football. And honestly, if he doesn't have to win the game, maybe this defense helps him out. Knowles and company helps him out a little bit. Maybe they won't require so much of Joey Aguilar, which would help him out in the long run.
Now, on the flip side.
Yes.
This is where I was going to start, but then we got that very kind donation. So yeah. Shout out, Vols, go Big Orange.
We do pander around here, so.
But Trinidad was before that.
Yeah.
And Buddy. Buddy, buddy, buddy. So I already got my thoughts on it, so I mostly want to hear yours. But for anybody that missed it.
Yes.
I mean, some of this I missed, Shane, where I didn't realize, nothing against prayer, right? But
yeah.
they opened the court hearing with a prayer in the room.
Yeah.
For Trinidad to be eligible. Which, again, is this, is it biased? I'm not even saying that's biased, you know? I'm just mm-hmm. noting what literally happened. I also didn't catch because I got tired of the damn judge, Shane. He went over an hour giving his ruling.
Yes.
And keep in mind, I think he took about 90 minutes to make the ruling.
Yes.
So I don't know how in the hell he typed that up in that short of time. I don't think he did. I think he already had it written, if yeah. you know what I'm saying. So we'll throw that into there. But when he hit the hour 10-minute mark, I said, to hell with this. I'm just going to go live. I know where this yeah. is headed. And because it was quite obvious and based on his ruling, what he was saying. But I missed it live at the very end, Shane. I don't know if you saw this, but when he was announcing that Trinidad would be granted his injunction, which makes him eligible right now, he got emotional. He's about to cry. And this is the judge. I mean, yeah. we can't have judges up here crying, but again, that's irrelevant. What does matter is Trinidad is eligible, just like we've been telling you he would be for months. But what does that change for Ole Miss now that Trinidad, I don't think there's any shot that he's not eligible for the entire upcoming college football season.
Mike, if you were asking me who the best quarterback in the SEC was last year, I'm telling you Trinidad. If you're asking me who's going to be the best quarterback next year, I'm telling you it's Trinidad. I feel like the reason that Ole Miss made a college football playoff last year was, yes, part to do with this team, part to do with this roster, part to do with coach Lane Kiffin and company. But let's be real, man. It was the gameplay. It was the gamemanship that Trinidad brought. He elevated everyone's game around him on that offense. So, yeah, this is a conversation. I saw you tweeted out how it went from 60-1 to 30-1 as we got this ruling. That just shows you the impact that this kid has for this football team and the reason that Ole Miss is not going anywhere.
Yeah, I just think it's absolutely huge. And I am enjoying the fact that we got rival fan bases crying about it, Shane, about how corrupt it is and all this, that, and the other. I mean, that's just going to make for fun conversation all offseason, isn't it?
You know, those those old sitcoms we used to watch growing up as kids, you know, and this little Podunk town, right? This judge had his moment, you know? That's probably his emotional, all them cameras on him. But I just imagine, you know, the tumbleweed rolling across the road before, you know, setting the scene before we got in here. We know exactly, I think, three sentences into that long explanation on exactly where this one was going to go. And, you know what? Ole Miss, say what you want, brother. I feel like Ole Miss is kind of in a weird spot. They built something so special there, and then they kind of got their heart ripped out of them.
Yeah.
And then they got to try it. But this is a program that I feel like this little positive news is exactly what they need to say, you know what? We don't need him. And you know who I'm talking about, right? This is something we can use as a launch pad and creating a new climate, a new environment here in Oxford. So good for them. I'm proud of them. Now, Mississippi State fans are like, fuck this guy. How do we appeal?
Yeah, without a doubt. So, that's basically the news. But one other item, and I don't even know if this is news, but it's been making the rounds. Nothing official yet, Shane, but I think it is going to happen. I don't know if you've seen this, but, and again, this has not happened yet, so we shouldn't overreact to it, but it's being widely reported that Alabama is going to pull out of a series, a non-conference home-and-home with Ohio State, and I have it here just to clarify. So I believe it's next, so 27, not this upcoming season, but the following one, 27, the game is supposed to be Bama at Ohio State. What a game that would be, and then 28 Ohio State at Alabama. So we're talking two and three seasons out.
Yeah,
I think that's why it's coming about, because we kind of need to know. But this is pretty complicated, and again, it's not happened yet.
Yeah,
but I do expect it to happen at this point in time, Shane. And I'll tell you for one main reason, because I think the SEC was under the impression that the playoff was going to be expanding.
Correct.
To at least 16. And when you have, fair or not, now I've seen it split both ways, right? But I think this is the whole reason for all this, or the main reason. We got Texas.
Yep.
Just went 10-3. Well, 9-3, regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make the playoff. They lost. They played at number one and lost by 7 points in the opener.
Yep.
So if you're looking at that and you're Alabama or Texas or Tennessee or literally anybody in this conference, you're saying, well, and I get it, because I've said this and a million other people said, well, hell, they lost to Florida. That's why they didn't make the playoff. And after they lost to Florida and they lost to Georgia, I said they shouldn't make it.
Yep.
And I'm fine with that. But we all know, Shane, if they had scheduled Wake Forest or Virginia or, you know, any BS school, I know that's like a power, but not really, Stanford, they would have beat the shit out of them. They would have went 10-2, and they would have made the playoff.
Yep.
And that's all anybody cares about. Not everybody, but most people. That's all they care about. Did you make the playoff? If not, this is a disaster. So why play these games? And I don't agree with this logic, but, I mean, it's out there.
Yep.
It literally happened. So I understand it from Alabama's point of view if they drop this. And then one other one that I don't think people are talking about, Shane, because the reason we haven't expanded, right, is because the Big Ten wants to go to 24. Mm-hmm. The SEC wants to go to 16, and they can't come to a compromise, right? So I think what is a factor in all of this, I know everybody's like, well, Big Ten, so much better than the SEC. I mean, we're just second fiddle, you know what I mean, to the mighty Big Ten and all this. They still have about three or four teams, Shane, and four is probably stretching it, that you can get a national audience to view the product, if that makes sense. It's Ohio State. It's Michigan.
Penn State, maybe.
Southern Cal, if they're good. Oregon, maybe. I don't think people across the country give a shit about it. You know what I mean? And again, no disrespect to, and even Indiana. Just
Chip Kelly, Oregon? Come on. But no.
Maybe. But point being, you got three or four programs that people will tune in for, right?
Yeah.
Now, when Alabama goes to Ohio State, that's a Fox game.
Yeah.
So the SEC gets no money from that. So why the hell would we sacrifice Alabama to give them free money when, yes, would Ohio State come to Alabama, the SEC would get money from that. But guess what, Shane? There's about a dozen. Alabama, Texas, that's going to do better than Alabama, Ohio State, or equally as good. Alabama, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Alabama, Oklahoma, Alabama, A&M, Alabama, Florida, Alabama, Auburn. We don't need them. You know what I mean? So I think this is a little bit of the SEC sticking it to the Big Ten saying, all right, here's one of your three good Ohio State games off the table because you won't compromise with this damn playoff. What's your thoughts on all that?
It's tough to argue. I feel like at the beginning of this conversation, when you touched on Texas, that's the exact reason. If Ohio State was Ohio of Miami of Ohio, you know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, Texas is a no-brainer for a college football playoff spot last year. And now that we've expanded and we have more SEC games, more likely we're going to see 9-3 teams. And if we can't get in with 9-3 prior to, why would we expect it, you know, post? So I understand where they're coming from. Can I ask you a question? Because, you know, eventually all this stuff comes down to money and viewership and all that stuff.
Right.
But so you mentioned Fox was going to have the rights to that game. Do you think, I'm just saying devil's advocate, because now that Fox is no longer involved, Big Disney steps in and says, hey, you know, program, get a North Carolina, get a, you know, a Miami or somebody they feel, you know, a little bit better about playing or something like that. And we'll match that Fox money. Do you see something like that happening behind the scenes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not? You know?
Yeah.
And so, again, like, so here's the, and again, we're a long way out, right?
Yes.
Here's the 27 opponents for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You stop me when there's a game you'd watch here.
Yeah.
Bowling Green, New Hampshire, Alabama.
There.
Clearly, at Michigan,
there.
That's a big one. At Minnesota, at Northwestern, at Oregon.
There, maybe.
I think people would watch that. Michigan State, Nebraska, Purdue, Southern Cal, maybe. And then Rutgers.
Yeah. Do Alabama's. Pull up Alabama's schedule. I mean, just even if you're a non-Alabama fan, and you're sitting there at the bar, and that team comes up. Do you got Alabama's schedule? Let's just do next year's.
Yeah. Oh, wait, just next year's?
Okay. Yeah, we'll just do next year's.
Let me flash it on the screen here. That's a little bit easier. But, yeah, I mean, it's damn near every one of these. So, East Carolina, skip at.
Skip it. Right.
Kentucky.
Maybe. Let's be real. Not a lot of people are going to watch Alabama, Kentucky.
Right.
Florida State, yes.
I think so. Yep. South Carolina, I think so, with the Lenore Sellers.
Uh-huh.
Mississippi State, nope. Skip it. Georgia.
Yes.
At Tennessee.
Yes.
A&M.
Yep. Game day will be there.
At LSU.
Game day will be there.
Vanderbilt, skip it. Chattanooga, skip it. And then Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
So that's the point, right? And the only reason we had so many yeps with Ohio State is because Alabama was penciled in there. So they're going to turn around and put it to the school of the blind here, you know? So, yeah, it is what it is, Mike. And we talk about it nauseam, and I'm sure they talk about it up north. The SEC's running. We ain't running. It's just, what do we get to – what do you gain from it, right? It's not like Alabama can – turn around and say, well, this is the why we should be considered a college football playoff team. You don't need Ohio State to do that. There are some schools out there. Like, you look last year, some of these Tulane got in. But you know what I'm saying? Like, those kind of fringe schools, Big 12 conferences, you know, that they probably need an Ohio State team to legitimize their schedule. Alabama doesn't need that. So it's a lose-lose situation, especially if you're going to knock Texas out for losing to them.
Right. Hey, Stringer says, the judge also said tampering was legal in Oxford. I don't think he said that, but maybe he did.
Oh, cheat. cheat gold in.
Hey, shout out, Based God. I don't care what everyone says. Oklahoma, where the wind goes sweeping down the place. I got four words. John, the money line. Money. I ain't let that go. They get some of them get so mad about that, but I like a quarterback that gambles, if you know what I'm saying.
Hell yeah, man.
Maybe don't gamble as much with the football, but the rest of it, go right ahead. You know what?
I would prefer a quarterback to gamble. Like, not just, I know you're joking about the money, but even on the football field, nothing's worse than a quarterback running out of bounds or throwing it away on the last play. You know what I'm saying? I want a guy that wants to take those chances because at least you took the chance.
That's the only way you get glory, you know?
That's it. That's why people will talk about John for years to come.
I'm surprised you didn't reference Hendon Hooker yet because he was a gambler.
He was a gambler. Well, I was about to lean into old Nico running out of bounds, but yeah, Hendon Hooker's my man. Does he got any more eligibility?
All right,
we need Hooker to come back, you know?
You never have too much Hooker. All right, I got updated, Shane. I haven't done this since the portal, believe it or not.
Yeah.
SEC power rankings.
Shit.
I think it's time to do it.
Damn, Mike. Okay, so was it the quarterback, you know, kind of clarity that's starting to, kind of get
That and the portal, because the last time I put this out was like,
all right,
in the middle, I think the portal had just opened.
Yes.
So we need a hard reset with the power rankings, right?
Absolutely. And can I ask you a question for the cousins? Uh-huh. How much impact do I have on this list?
None whatsoever. So this is Shane's favorite kind of list here. He can just rip every selection and say they're too low.
They should be higher.
It amazes me, Shane, how many people. I've literally never tagged you in it. I rarely even have you on the show when I'm doing the power rankings.
Yeah.
And they're like, that fat bastard with these rankings, like, he's got nothing to do with it. Well, I guess they're probably talking about me being fat too, but you've got nothing to do with it.
Wait, I'm fat? No. perfect time to plug. I got a video coming out Tuesday. I've been doing a little golf. Got a video set up. SEC Cousin Shane. Check it out. We got our first episode of Bogey or Birdie coming up.
Ooh.
You're going to like this one, Mike. Tennessee fans especially. I about killed somebody.
All right. Yeah, no, I can't wait for it. And also, maybe not right this second, but when we're done here, I probably should have always – I do a horrible job plugging our own content, Shane. We got multiple interviews for anybody that missed it. Nate Edwards, Rock M Nation.
Yeah.
And Billy Lucci, the great Billy Lucci, Tex Ag. So I put those out this weekend. Go check them out. We would appreciate you. We're just trying to give you as much insight as we possibly can on all these teams. We're just going to keep doing it all year long. You know what?
I was watching that Lucci one, man. No problem plugging on that one, dude. What show are you on again, Billy? No, I'm just kidding. I give him a hard time. It was awesome. It's good content. He explains why Texas is going to suck this year. So if you're a Longhorn fan, be sure to check it out.
I'm thinking of reaching out to Amanda, his co-host there, and having her roast A&M.
We'd have a lot more views on it, Mike.
All right, let's get into the power ranking, Shane. And as always,
yes,
one metric only. It's very simple. Team A meets Team B on a neutral field. Who am I taking to win the game? That's it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, number 16. In the SEC, Shane.
Yes.
Big Blue, get your ass to the back back of the line, Shane. I ain't buying it yet. I'd love to be wrong, right? Now, again, this is not a prediction of where the record is or anything like that. This is if Kentucky is facing literally any other SEC team on a neutral field tomorrow with all the moving pieces, you know, the spring and what we get out of that, I think that will update this list significantly.
Yeah.
But I'm just right now, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt, given the inexperience at head coach, quarterback, and then the coordinators, I think, are awful. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Tell me how you really feel, Mike. Tell me how you. I mean, weren't you just up there with the On Three boys?
Yeah, and I told them the same thing. They're going to be awful.
They couldn't convince you that you're wrong and and that you missed the biggest on Kentucky on this power ranking. I mean, literally no movement. Okay, 2.0. So
I was trying to move them down. I couldn't figure out how to move them up.
Let me ask you this. Did the gap get a little smaller after the portal? Because I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, that SEC 2026 is anywhere compared to like 2010, you know, or 1990, or, you know what I'm saying? I felt like for a long time, the Southeastern Conference is similar to what we were talking about Big Ten earlier. There's about five or six really good teams, and then there was everything else. Right. But I do feel like the bottom is a little higher these days. Did that gap close with, because they were very aggressive in the portal in coach's first year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Now, I think that the same could be said for a couple of these teams. That's why it's so hard without seeing them. And that's why I was saying I want to see them in spring. Yeah. You know, if we find out this quarterback, Minshew, is looking amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that changes something. Maybe if we hear the offensive line is really stout, maybe that changes something. But I think one of the most underrated, and this is probably not fair because we could do this for everybody, but I think one of the most underrated players in the conference last year, Shane, was their running back, Seth McGowan.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody watched him other than Kentucky fans. You know what I mean? Or obviously when your team was playing Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think that guy was amazing, and not having him back, I think that's going to be devastating.
They got some offensive line though. Now they can actually block for a running back. So
that's true.
I'm with you. I just like to get you going, because I'm not saying Kentucky. I'd probably have them in that mix of 14, 15, 16. You know, but maybe not 16. Maybe 16 is a little too low.
Okay, well, tell me where you maybe debate it with number 15 on my list, Arkansas.
Oh.
Same deal. I mean, you talk to some of them, they're like, by God, we dominated the portal. Come on, buddy, what are you talking about? A lot of Memphis in that portal.
Yeah.
A lot of uncertainty at quarterback. I do like the offensive coordinator. And I'm kind of giving credit here, Shane, to we've seen a little bit of the quarterback in this conference. We've seen the head coach be a successful head coach. So I'm giving them a slight benefit of that as opposed to Kentucky, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I see a lot of comparisons here. If Arkansas were in the Big Ten, what would they finish? Where would you have them? Probably like 7, maybe
top,
eight.
Top six, probably.
Yeah. Again, it's tough to argue. We haven't seen them in action, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like, the ceiling, I like Kentucky's ceiling a little bit more than I like Arkansas right here. I do think Arkansas is in a crazy rebuild, but I think they got the right guy. You know, I've listened a little bit of old Silver Fox. Silver Tongue's what I should call him, because he's selling me on what they're doing up there, but it's going to take some time, and I feel like there's going to be some bumps and bruises along the way in 26. You know, there'll be moments you're saying, hey, this is our guy. We need some more talent.
Could they benefit, do you think, at all from low expectations?
For sure.
Because every year, I mean, I think it's easier to be like, who had expectations for Arkansas? Yeah. They went 2-10. But remember, Shane, we were doing, I don't know why this of all the things that happened to us, I don't know why this sticks in my memory, but I remember, I think it was a mailbag where it was, they started 2-0 and they were like, hey, if we beat Ole Miss,
yeah,
we're going 5-0, right?
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
as good, let's say, I hope it happens. I think if Arkansas beats Utah, which I think could certainly happen. They got a new coach too. I think, you know, that I think fans would be pretty damn fired up, but I don't think they'd be like, we're about to go on a run, aren't we, boys? You know what I mean? It'd just be like, hey, we're overachieving early. That's what we want from this coach. We're not expecting much. Get us to a bowl game, or maybe, you know, obviously better if we can. But I think that's the expectation for some of these teams at the bottom. Just get the postseason. You know what?
Yeah. You know who it reminds me of a little bit is 2024 Vanderbilt, right?
Right.
Extremely low expectations. And I remember watching that Mizzou game, and nobody wanted to give, like, Vanderbilt any credit for you know, almost winning that damn football game. But that's just the program was moving in the right direction. We just weren't ready. And then you fast forward 26, nobody wants to play Vanderbilt, you know? So that could be Arkansas. They got everything they need. They got the money. They got the NIL. I feel like they got the right coach for this situation. But, yeah, they're going to have to catch a few teams off guard this season, but that could help them moving forward. So, yeah.
You just jogged my memory, and I remember that Missouri-Vanderbilt vividly. I believe it went into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reaction at the end was like, God, what's wrong with Missouri?
Yeah.
Not one person was like, you know, this Diego Pavia, maybe he's all right. It was just like, why is Missouri broken, you know?
9 out of 10 articles were were definitely Mizzou sucks and not Vanderbilt may be good.
Well, speaking of Vanderbilt, Shay, that's who I got number 14. It should be music to your walking ears. I just think a big step back is coming. Hey, I hope I'm wrong. You know, I would like, and again, I'm not saying they're going to be awful. Heck, 14th is better than they've been any of the first couple of years under Clark Lea. I just think it's natural with a freshman quarterback. I think there's going to be a little bit of a slight step back. We need the defense to be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they will be under Coach Clark Lea. Got a lot of faith in him. But, man, we're starting from scratch on offense. And the offense is kind of, not kind of, it is. It's what made us go the last couple seasons.
But was it the offense or the system, right? Was it? I feel like a lot of people are going to give Diego Pavia the credit, which, again, he was great. He was phenomenal. He was perfect for that program. But let's not act like it's not a different type of offense than we've seen in the Southeastern Conference. And part of the reason why they had so much success. So it's a system. And I feel like, you know, Vanderbilt's in a kind of a weird spot. I mean, we're going to doubt him. I'm doubting him. I'm already there. Mike's there. He's got him at, what, damn near, what, 14?
14.
You know? This is a 10-win football team, you know what I'm saying? And he's got them way down there. But I feel like, yeah, Vanderbilt still could be in that I'll show you mentality, right? And it would not surprise me if they don't find themselves not only in a bowl game, but a significant bowl game at the end of the season.
Well, speaking of bowl games, Shane.
Yes.
Moving on up in the rankings.
Uh-oh.
Not by a lot, but some. Mississippi State, come on, buddy. I'm getting suckered in a little bit here. Number 13, them Bulldogs. Shane Jeff Lebby still got big-time questions about him. But old Zach Arnett, love this quarterback, Kamario Taylor. I think he's going to light up the SEC. I'm just questioning how much help he's got around him. So right now, give me Mississippi State, number 13. They're up slightly.
This is a big move, Mike. I mean, a 2.0. Where'd you have him in one? Wasn't it 15?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of more of these, you may have him in the top five. What's going on? All this Ole Miss talk got you fired up for Mississippi boys. So,
yeah. This is the program in Mississippi that does it right.
Yeah. Is this about the quarterback that doesn't have to go to court? Is that what? Yeah, I would imagine that's what it is. Is there any conversations? I guess, other than quarterback, obviously, what is the big decide? What would, like, what would move the needle for Mississippi State going into 26? What do you need to see in spring to say, you know what, we may have something here? Is it a defensive front? Is it, you know, wide receiver play? Is there something you're looking for?
I think it's how quickly Zach Arnett can come back in here and install his defense, mm-hmm. and fit with the players. Because you got to remember, Mississippi State obviously has gone over a lot of coaching transition.
Yeah.
And they've been devastated by the portal.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that long ago that Zach Arnett was our head coach, obviously defensive coordinator prior to that. But it's been long enough, Shane, where the guys that were recruited and brought in by Zach Arnett, I'd say there's probably not more than 5 to 10 of them. And I'm talking specifically defense. I don't even know if there's that many, you know? So outside of a handful of guys, there's probably very few players that have played for Zach Arnett, yeah. on this defense. So I need to know how quickly that's coming together, because he really did such a great job. Not as obviously as a head coach, that's why he got run out of there, but as a defensive coordinator, defense was the strength of Mike Leach's Mississippi State program. People forget, if we could get up to that caliber in a hurry, I think we're cooking with something here at Mississippi State.
Surfer says the only way they improve is if they got a good punter.
I mean, that's the thing, Shane. Mississippi State, again, we could laugh at all this. Yeah. They put up points.
Yeah. It's the defense, right? Yeah. I feel like if you're a State fan, after they started the season, you're tickled pink. That Tennessee game, you're kicking yourself because you should have had that one.
Right.
This team should have started out 5-0. And I'd look back at them, and I think about some other games that just got out of hand, and they had opportunities in, and we would be singing a different tune right now if that would have came in fruition. And a lot of that was mistakes on the defensive side. And you're right, Arnett, I mean, he was, we were excited. We kept saying, this is the best defensive, one of the best defensive, not the best defensive coordinator in the country. And now you got him back. And if he gets to that caliber again, pair that with Jeff Lebby and his crazy quarterback mind, I tell you, brother, Mississippi State could be doing, but I feel like the time to build, this isn't a rebuild, right? They got to do it now. So yeah. I hope this is the most aggressive gambling we've seen ever from Mississippi State, because you got nothing to lose this season.
Shout out, cousin Mike Andrews. Does Lebby go back to Oklahoma after the year?
So just saying.
That's on the other hand, if it doesn't go so well, you know what?
That last dance, right? It is the last dance over there.
All right, number 12, Shane. Now, these next four, these are the ones I struggled with the most.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to rank them. But let's just say the next four, I think you can put them in any order. I'd agree with you.
Okay.
I'm going to go Auburn, number 12. Mm. Now, I've been on here, Shane, and I said, hell, I think this Brown, this quarterback they got, is dynamic. And Shane just mocked his opponents, but that's fine. Yeah. That's what Shane does. And we like Golish. Mm-hmm. We think he's going to be an instant impact. We like the defense under DJ Durkin. So, that, you know, you can start to see why I'm saying I would buy into them being a lot higher. But when we reveal these next four, I think I'll kind of make my overall point. But thoughts on Auburn at 12, which could be a lot higher, I think.
Yeah.
But I can't justify putting them any higher right now.
Well, I'm already thinking of it as tiers now that you've mentioned this. So we're in tier three.
Right.
And I would not disagree that Auburn's a tier three squad. And I get where you're coming from. I feel like Auburn, though, is one of those that it's like a lottery ticket, right? You just scratch it, and you never know, man. The jumbo bucks may be right under there, and then all of a sudden Auburn's back. But then again, it may be one of the – you ever done those, and it's like you need a tic-tac-toe or something, and you got every X except that last one? That also could be Auburn. Like, we're missing a few pieces to have that jackpot. So I'm right there with you. I can't complain there.
Okay, and really, I'm splitting hairs here.
A lot of gambling talk tonight, man. I feel like I need to be a Cherokee at some point.
Yeah, so you're going to be gone the next week. I'm splitting hairs, but I don't know. I've drawn a line in the sand, Shane, and I've kind of picked sides already.
Yeah.
Florida. So, again, Florida, Auburn, I mean, it's damn near interchangeable.
Yeah.
But I think I got a little bit more confidence in John Summerall. I think both of these guys inheriting a lot of really good talent. Mm-hmm. And I like the talent they brought in via the transfer portal. So, again, I'm kind of splitting hairs here. But give me Florida, because I don't know what it is. I just think they're going to be a little bit more SEC ready than Auburn.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised that you have them here. I was preparing an argument on why you're way too high on Florida, but I think you have nailed this spot here. They're a tier three team. Maybe not an Auburn situation, but I feel like the floor is a little bit higher on the Florida Gators because of what they did retain this offseason. So, yeah, I can't complain. This is first one I can't complain, Mike. I want to, but I can't. You nailed it. Where were they the last time? Do you remember? About the same spot? I thought you had them a little higher.
No, roughly the same spot.
Okay. Okay.
Now, this one I did drop a little. I think I got two caught up.
Yeah.
Number 10, South Carolina. Mm. Now, why are they? Again, they're coming off a rough year, right?
Yeah.
How can they be ahead of Auburn and Florida? These proud programs. Well, it's a good year to be Shane Bieber. That's number one. You know, who we're bringing back in the portal, I think that is huge. And fair or not, Shane, I mean, I think it's so easy. Shane, we all do this. Shout out again that conversation I had with Nate Edwards. Rock him. We talked Mizzou for 35 minutes. But one thing I mentioned with him,
yeah,
when it comes to Missouri, when it comes to drink, and it comes to Tennessee and Josh Heupel, and I think even South Carolina, Shane Beamer. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to sit here and look at their records or look at their disappointments and be like, these guys, they ain't got it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a Florida fan and you're doing this with Summerall, or you're an Auburn fan and you're doing this with Golish, mm-hmm. all you're doing is being like, this guy gets it. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he gets it.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't made any of the mistakes. He's not lost a damn game.
Yeah.
We see nothing. We see no bad with these new guys. And that's fun. You know, I'm right there with you. I've done this long enough. I do it all the time. You know, I get excited about the new guy.
Yeah.
But while Drake, Heupel, and Beamer specifically, who I'm talking about here, have made their mistakes, they've also shown us that they can win at this in this league and win at a high level.
Yep.
So I'm giving Carolina the benefit of the doubt. Am I crazy?
No. No, I think that's great. I like the way you word it there because he's even great at the podium, you know? Smooth talking, fork and tug, man. I tell you, he's got me convinced that Florida is back already. And I see it in my feed. You know, I follow a lot of Florida cousins, and all I see is positivity. It's like, it's so funny. I get all this politics stuff, and then all of a sudden I get this Florida run, right? You know, that's what it feels like. And all these guys they're saying, hey, man, don't sleep on the Gators. And you may be right. You may be right because as soon as you count them out, you look at what they did bring back. And he even came out and said, hey, we've got not a brand new roster, but half of it's brand new. But I feel like this spring game is going to be that moment that Florida really needs to come together, and we're going to pick apart this depth chart so that when we roll into fall. So all my eyes are going to be down at Gainesville because this is one I could see moving up your power rankings just based on what you see this spring.
Hey, Vol Tiger, very important question. Any broken bones for Shane Beamer this year? Remember, he kicked the Gatorade a while back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's going to... One on his hand when he punched that damn wall when he had to write my name too many times, you know?
All right, so the last team in this little tier here, Shane.
Yes.
And again, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the best program here.
Yes.
Number 9, Missouri. And I've been down on them. But I've been thinking about this all weekend, Shane, and I'm like, When we're winning 8 games and people are like, man, the sky's falling.
Yeah.
Florida can't win 8 games. Auburn can't win 8 games. South Carolina, they can't win 8 games. So I'm giving it to the guy that's won in this league. He's proven a lot. You know, he's also proven they're very effective in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. And I thought, again, I'm going to keep plugging this interview, I guess. Nate, I didn't think about it, but he said, hey, Drake's got a track record of identifying these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, he tried to get Jaden Daniels. They thought they had him. LSU swooped in at the last minute. We know what he became. He tried to get Fernando Mendoza. Indiana swooped in there. And this year he said, all right, Austin, remember it was Austin Simmons, like, kind of jumped in the portal out of the blue, and it was already being reported. Right, he's headed to Missouri. So, tampering? I'm not saying tampering, but I'm saying he knew where he was going, right? So they didn't screw around this time. They said, this is too important. Pay him what he wants. Get his ass in the portal. Get him here. That's what they did. So I think Missouri, number 9, probably even too low, but I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt over Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina.
Eli Cheatwitz, is that what you said? Oh man, I didn't know that. I didn't know about the Mendoza and the Daniels. That's interesting. So, man,
these are the nuggets that we pick up in these interviews. If you're not checking,
but he also does it with running backs.
Yeah,
he's been really good. Because when I think of Mizzou, one of the things I kind of ponder is just some of the coaching pickups that they've made, which turned out to be home runs, running backs, and now you throw in quarterbacks. I feel like that was all they were missing on the offensive side. I mean, this could potentially be one of the most explosive offenses of 2026. Now, I don't think it's going to be, because that's not what Drink wants to do, right? He wants to chew the clock and keep his defense off the football field. But man, all those weapons surrounded by Austin Simmons, I feel like this could be one that, in fact, I feel like you're a little low on right now, but definitely after a couple of games, you're going to say, shit, I should have put Mizzou up a little bit higher. Because I do think that this is a team that can hit the ground running quicker than some of these others.
Do you remember this time last year? Maybe it was a little bit later. Maybe it was in the summer. But you remember Drake says, my most talented team.
Yeah. I hope you
think,
don't say
do
that.
You think we get any slogans or declarations or anything like that?
For sure. Yes.
What will it be, though? This most doubted team or something?
Yeah.
Biggest chip on our shoulder.
Mike's stupid power rankings were coming after him. Yeah, maybe doubt, right? Yeah. Because there was a little stretch where we didn't doubt, but we lifted Mizzou. And now you got people saying, well, maybe it was a one-hit wonder, or, you know, maybe it was their schedule. That's another one, right? You had 2 years of easy, quote-unquote easy scheduling, which turned out not to be so easy. But I feel like that narrative changes this year, because Mizzou has a daunting schedule. And if they could come out successful with that thing, I feel like we look back at Drink and say, you know what? Maybe he is one of the best coaches in this conference.
Yeah. All right, number 8, Shane. I don't know what the heck to do with this team. Give me Alabama. Number 8 in the SEC.
Damn, Mike.
Saban must be rolling over in his grave. But this is where I got Alabama. I mean, I don't have much confidence in them necessarily to be an elite team. Now, maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe DeBoer's got some of that magic up his sleeve. And you know, to his one thing we could say, this will be the first time, Shane, I didn't even realize this till the other day, but this will be the first time, and this is year 3, first time that this will be DeBoer's handpicked quarterback.
Yeah.
So maybe that is key to this whole thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's the worst one because he can't. I don't know.
Man, do you not have enough fine bomb collars on your ass already, Mike? I mean, jeez, this is a little low for me, and very low. I feel like Alabama, I mean, what are their odds to win a national title right now? What are they sitting at, 30 to 1?
27 to 1, I believe.
27 to 1, and you ain't even got them in the top half of the damn power. Is it
Well, I mean, a lot of that is just based on brand, you know? You walk up to the window. How many? I mean, there must be thousands, Shane. Thousands of like young. I don't want to just say women, but young. You know, maybe like old people that don't pay attention, or young. You know, it's like basically Alabama's like a cool, or at least they were cool. Yeah, I'm an Alabama fan. Who's the quarterback? I don't know. You know, yeah. How many bandwagon fans? You know, let's say they're in Vegas or whatever, putting money on it. That's why Alabama's even up there that high odds.
Are name brand. Are they bandwagon still? I thought they got handed over to Georgia. If I'm not mistaken, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the same old Kentucky basketball fans back in the day. They probably tell you right now, and you like, you sure this year Kentucky basketball fan? <You know? laughs> But yeah, I get what you're saying, but also, I mean, you cannot argue with the fact that they are one of the top five most talented football teams in this conference, I think. And I also think that DeBoer, you know, took one team to the playoffs and one he fell short. I mean, just barely. So I don't think year three, this is kind of that time when you're supposed to hit year three, year four. This is the reason you brought Kalen in here. And I feel like you're sleeping big time on that tide, man. I like him in the playoffs. So where's old Steven up? Remember this. This is not my list, cuz this is SEC Mike's.
You said it. You hit year three, or you get exposed year three. You know?
Hey, one of us is right, and one of us is wrong.
All right, number seven. This team's taking a little bit of a tumble here, Shane. Shout out Texas A&M. Number seven. And again, seven's not bad. You're right there in the playoff conversation, you know?
You spent too much time with Lucci, huh?
But I don't know, Shane. I don't know what to make of this offense. Rebuild offensive line.
Yeah.
New offensive coordinator. Replacing a lot of talent on defense. Now, I think Mike Elko will have that defense up and running fairly quickly. So, not necessarily doubting them. I'm kind of doubting Marcel just a little bit. I don't know which Marcel Reed we're getting week in and week out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We're getting the good one. They could be top three. If we're getting the bad one, they're closer to 10. You know what I mean? So I'm putting them number seven for now.
I think you're a little low on them too, you know, and I'm not even an Aggie fan. Right. You know, but I do think, even though you may be a little down on Marcel Reed, I feel like when you look at all these other teams that are bringing back a new quarterback, I would rather have 3-year Marcel Reed coming in, you know, just if I'm a betting man, odds are I have seen enough success from him that he'll continue that success down there in College Station. So, and it shouldn't just come down to one player. I feel like Elko, you got him. You talk about exposed. I feel like this is the year Elko gets exposed. This is the one where we decide if he was truly a great hire or if he's just in another long line of mistakes we've made down there in College Station. That's what it feels like. And it's crazy to go from college football playoffs to this conversation, but you know, you had a really, really good football team. You had everything lined up in front of you last season. And if you take a massive step back in this year, I feel like we're going to have to blame somebody. And seems like you're leaning toward the quarterback. Hell, I may be leaning toward the coach, but I feel like, in my opinion, that Elko was the right hire, and he should, Texas A&M should be a little higher on your list. Not much, but I would put him at least fringe tier one, you know? So that 5-6 mark is kind of where I was thinking.
What if
Steven up? Thank you, cuz.
What if seven is? Tide. What if all seven is tier one?
Well, damn, you're always moving the goalposts. I like it, Mike.
Hey, just for Cousin Shane, says Steven
boys
up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Tag Paul Feinbaum in that power ranking so he can see it.
All right, number six. Now, again, you're saying everybody's too low. I had to move his team up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you move people up, you got to move someone down, right?
Yeah.
Give me number six, Tennessee. Joey Swagular. I'm counting him, Shane. Until further notice, I'm counting him. I like what we've done, obviously, at defensive coordinator and all the additions via the portal on the defensive side of the football. With Joey Swagular slated to return as of today, could change. If it's changed the shape, we'll do a power rankings. We'll do another power rankings show. Yep. But with Joey Aguilar back, with all these moves, I think Tennessee, number six, they're right there in the playoff discussion.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point. I mean, I believe the top six teams in the Southeastern Conference deserve a spot in the college football. I'm that guy, right?
Right.
So the fact we're in the sixth, I'm okay with that, Mike, because we just got to get to the dance. And just remember, this is power rankings. This isn't what you think the record will be. This isn't none of that. I do think Tennessee has a tougher path this season to make the college football playoffs. But if we got all 16 teams neutral field, yeah, I like the odds of Tennessee being in that mix. So no complaints with them being at the sixth spot.
Oh, okay. I was expecting you to say too low.
No, I'm saving it for this next one.
Number five.
Yeah.
LSU, Shane. People are jumping on the bandwagon.
I'm there.
As they should, right?
Yeah.
But again, you got to remember, what are these rankings, Shane? These rankings are if the teams met tomorrow.
Yep.
I don't think to my knowledge, Sam Levitt's not healthy. So he's not even the quarterback if they were to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
You would have to assemble an entirely new offensive line, an entirely new receiving core, mm-hmm. with a new offense. I don't know. That's a lot to ask. I mean, this may even be too high. LSU number five. Just now, give them a full camp or two, I'd move them on up the list. I think the defense will be pretty stout.
Yeah.
But give me LSU number five. I think they're overrated just slightly today. But in 2 months' time, maybe not.
Yeah, if we were predicting week 12 power rankings, you'd have them higher. But
right.
Week one power rankings, I get that. Can't argue, but I will. LSU's a lot better than that. Should be a top three on this list. They're back, baby. They're absolutely back. Is this Marler's team now? I'm trying to remember. He's got like so many now. So is he all LSU now or little South Carolina? I know Bama's going to hurt him a little bit, you know.
Right. He's all of them.
He's all of them. he don't know what bumper sticker to put on his car this week. But yeah, I like LSU, and mainly because the ceiling, right? You said a neutral field, which if it happens with the freak athletes that Lane Kiffin has underneath him, I feel like, brother, there's a high odd or high probability that he runs that other team out of the building, or at least 13 of them. So I think he should be in the three mix.
Okay.
But it's your list.
Right. So number four.
Yeah.
Texas.
Oh, gosh.
Texas, Shane. This is playoff. You know, they should be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, Shane, kind of rebuild offensive line, new defensive coordinator, some new weapons. They're going all in. All the chips are in.
Yep.
But are they ready? Are they championship worthy today? I would say not.
They should be number one or two. Number one or two. Too low on Texas. I hate to say it, Mike. I hate to say it. This probably should be number one. Number one, this is the year I'm in. I'm all the way in. I feel like we're a little premature on Arch Manning last season. Not this season. Brother, this team is absolutely loaded. If the offensive line, oh my God, if the offensive line comes together, this may be the best team ever assembled down there in Austin, Texas.
What if the offensive line's worse?
Then they're way too high. Because, brother, I said this all the entire time last season, the big uglies did not get enough respect, but they did get the blame when the shit hit the fan, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where Texas has got to get right. I have confidence that they will, and if that happens, this could be the number one team in the country.
You know what always fixes the offensive line?
What?
Firing a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to Oakland. At the end of the day, Ole Miss rank first. We'll see about that. So, all right, we're in the top three, Shane.
Yes.
So everybody should be higher. So that means all these teams, you got to bump them out, I guess.
Yeah, get them out.
Number three, give me Oklahoma. Come on, buddy.
Ooh.
Defense, I think, will be fantastic again. I just think it's always going to be basically fantastic now under Brent Venables. Year two of the offense, Ben Arbuckle, John Mateer. I like the weapons they've surrounded him with. How they got five offensive linemen back with starting experience, and they've added an offensive lineman that was a starter at Arkansas. So they got pieces there. We know they got the best kicker, short shorts.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. So give me Oklahoma, number three.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed this one. I do.
Well,
I just,
wait, we got to move someone then.
No, nah, well, we haven't got there yet.
You said Texas got to be up there, LSU got to be up there, A&M's got to be up there.
They're in the three mix, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think these next ones we're going to move down a little bit. But, yeah, I think Oklahoma 3-4. But, again, you're in the dance, right?
Yeah.
I think we're splitting hairs once you get to this point. It's like, you know, like it's perfection. You ever seen one of those? Like you just, everything's absolutely perfect. And you're trying to worry about that one little smudge on your car or something. It's like, dude, it looks phenomenal. Parked in my next to my piece of shit that hasn't been washed in 3 weeks. You look great, brother. So I feel like that's where Oklahoma's at. We're splitting hairs. I think they're in a good spot. I feel like they repeat. I feel like this is also another opportunity for them to get back in that college football playoff mix. And, yeah, brother, I just love what they retained. I feel like this is also one of those rosters, one of those teams that will, more importantly, hit the ground running. You know, if you're talking about week one as compared to week 12, I feel like this is going to be one of those teams that's more prepared at the first of the season than some of these that you talked about further down the list here. So good spot. Great spot, Mike.
All right. So that number two?
Yes.
Ole Miss. Come on, buddy. I actually docked him a spot, but that's because I already knew Trinidad was going to be there. But again, I think Trinidad is awesome. I think Cheat Golding is already started to showcase he's going to be pretty awesome. I saw an insane statistic here over the weekend. Maybe I should have written it down. I'm actually going through the process, Shane, of seeing how many snaps each team added via the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
I don't know 1,000%, you know, if that equates, but I do think it does. Here it is right here. Shout out to Brad Powers who looked this up. Ole Miss brought in 13 transfers on defense, Shane.
Yes.
Over 6,000 snaps.
Ooh.
Between those 13 defenders that Ole Miss is bringing in. So essentially they're bringing in 13 extremely experienced defensive players because we all know that was a weakness last year. So they're probably not going to be near as dominant on offense, but they're probably going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
And then if we get better on defense, Ole Miss could be better than they were last year.
This is the one you're a little too high on. This is it. You nailed it. I think we got excited because we got to listen to that judge talk, his little monologue, and you got drawn in. We all do that, right? We get enamored that the best quarterback in the country is coming back, and rightfully so, Mike, but to just think they're going to plug and play and continue like last season, even though I talked about it earlier, I do think that they're going to have a lot of success. I don't believe they'll be under – do you have their schedule? I don't believe they'll be underdogs in too many games, but there will be a couple.
Texas, Georgia.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma.
So they're going to be –
maybe LSU.
So there's those coin toss games is what's going to dictate, you know, if you – go back to the playoffs. There's a lot of coin toss games here. So way too early, but I like the moves that Cheat Golding has made. I love the fact they got their quarterback back and the fact we're talking about them going back to the college football playoffs. I still can't believe we're having that conversation about them Ole Miss Rebels. So enjoy it. You're in, what do they call it? Rare air, brother. So, but a little too high. I'm going to say closer to that five mark is for me.
How about Tolkien says you can't be right all the time? You
know? Yeah. Exactly.
Because he's got him number one. But I got number one, Shane, of course, Georgia. Still got faith in old Kirby. I think he's the best in the business, not just the SEC, but still the country. I mean, we've reached the point where winning conference championships is a back-to-back years is massively disappointing.
Yeah.
We got more starters back than anybody in the conference. We got all our coordinators back, quarterback back. I don't know. I mean, I think this is, if there's one team, Shane, that is going to be on the damn war path this year, while everybody's kissing Saban's ass, or Saban, Kiffin's ass, and Sharkeesian, his ass. I mean, come on. Oh, yeah. You're sucking up to the wrong guys. Kirby's still king of the SEC until further notice. And I think he's got more weapons at his disposal, particularly with all the veterans coming back. So these are homegrown guys. We didn't go crazy in the portal. You know why, Shane? Because we didn't have to.
Yeah.
And that should be dangerous to the rest of the SEC.
I think you're a little high on them dogs, right? I'm just saying it. I'm that guy. I hate to be that guy. Don't want to be that guy. I mean, how many times have we said going into a season, you know what this is? This is Kirby Revenge Tour. You know, it's like, how many revenge loss seasons can you have that end up in the call? Like, yes, we know you're good at homework, but you suck at taking tests. That's what it feels like, right? This kid aces everything, but then when it comes to a final, he can't complete it. And I feel like Kirby's smart, not under the gun, not under pressure, not on the hot seat whatsoever. But there's some uncomfortable fans down there in Athens saying, hey, it's time to put up, man. Listen, we made you the highest paying coach. We've provided you everything you need to be successful and continue that success. But by God, getting bounced out first in the college football playoffs, that's got to end. We don't care about SEC championships. We want a natty. So I feel like that's where those dogs are at. And if I can help Kirby get a little bit out of that locker room by putting him lower on Mike's power rankings, I'll do it. But definitely in the mix for another run, though.
How good do you got it, Shane, if you're not satisfied with back-to-back SEC championships?
That's crazy, isn't it?
You know how many programs in this damn conference probably they don't even have two conference championships?
Yeah. I mean, we just talked about Ole Miss. They hadn't even been there. They danced all around it, but sure, just didn't want to go. So
I think we're diminishing the success.
Yeah.
Because of failures in the playoff.
I get it. I totally get it, man. But at the end of the day, Mike, it's about hoisting that national championship trophy. And we've not done that in Georgia in a while. I keep seeing the videos on TikTok. Done it.
The rest of LSU, Texas, all these other teams you talked up, they haven't done it.
Yeah, but they don't got a Kirby Smart, you know, the best coach
ever.
They
still don't.
Yeah, so let's do it, man. Let's do it. Get out of the box, man. Let's make – you know what I hate is that we can't send that hateful-ass Georgia football team. You know what I'm saying? I think about the last national title that they did win. Those were fucking bullies, man. Those were bullies. They went into every football game, and they just – they broke your spirit. I remember when Tennessee – remember 22? We were so damn excited. Oh, my gosh, this is our chance. We're going to go down there. We're waking up the quarterback in the middle of the night and shit and everything. and then we ended up blaming the rain and watching. I watched that defensive front just beat the hell out of us, you know. That's who they were, and they've got away from that. And I hate that we can't send that. There's no reason the Big Ten should have three national titles here. Old school Georgia would have beat the brakes off of all three of those teams. So that's what I miss. But that has to get created from within, and that's tough to do with this new transfer portal, right? Georgia is like, if you don't start your first year, they're elsewhere, right? The old Georgia, they'd say, okay, I got to wait my time, earn my spot. They don't have that. So this new transition, I feel like Georgia, if they can get that to click, then absolutely nobody in this conference would want to play them. They're just not there yet.
Hey, shout out Derek. Sorry I'm late, cousins. I rode with Shane. That's a comment of the night right there. And then, hey, shout out Nick. This is a fantastic comment that I've not really even thought about. Maybe it was that SEC championship, Shane. That's costing Georgia. You're putting extra game on your body. There could be some logic to that. It's certainly the year they lost Carson Beck. I mean, that really killed him.
Well, and the year before, he was blaming remember he was pissed off at old Sankey for scheduling him all these tough games, you know? So,
yeah.
I get it. But old school football, right? And that's where he comes from. from the 80s, man. Roll that football out there in the middle of the field and let's play some damn football and stop worrying about the fine details that we bitch about at the end of the season. So go out here and win some football games, man.
Well, you know who we don't got to worry about, Shane?
Who's that?
Michael Dunlap, shout out. Been a member since, or watching since October 2024.
Hell yeah.
We appreciate you, Michael.
Longer than I've been watching.
And shout out Glenn Warsaw. Appreciate you, buddy. He gifted Patrick Flanore. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. Thank you, Glenn.
Cliz, let me ask Glenn, comment, is that you on Twitter? I just got a follow, and I want to make sure before I follow a bot or anything. So if I like to follow all the cousins, so be sure to tweet at me, cuz, and if I'm not following you, I'll be sure to follow you back.
And then we got Liquid Flame, Shane. He gifted Aggie Joseph.
Thank you, cuz.
Liquid, and then Steven.
Road Tide.
He gifted Save an Egg. All of y'all,
welcome to the family.
Anything else, buddy, before we wrap this one up?
Yep, one last one, Tolkien. Say it, Mike. Well, I gotta go, but at the end of the day, I'd love to show my cousin. See you next year. Come to the sip, Mike and Shane. Thank you, Tolkien. Thank you, cousins, for hanging out with us. Be sure to hit that thumbs up on your way out. It means the world to us, and we will see you tomorrow with the smart guy and JP coming through with the shout-outs. Thank you, cuz, the legend, the true legend. Tonight's shout-outs go to Vols, GBO, Glenn Warsaw, Liquid Flame, Steven Up, Stringer Films, Bass God, and Tolkien. Thank you all, and thank you, JP. Truly, truly means a lot, and we will see you all tomorrow.
You won't.
I'm out. I'm golfing.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.